Say first, good evening, everyone. Appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity to stand before you this evening. And what I wanted to talk about tonight is the impossibility of salvation. In the Old Testament, the word salvation sometimes referred to deliverance from danger. That's in Jeremiah 15:20. Deliverance of the weak from the oppressor, Psalms 35:9-10. The healing of sickness, Isaiah 38:9-10. It also refers to a national deliverance from a military threat. We find that in Exodus 14:13. Or release from captivity, Psalm 14:7. In the New Testament, salvation has its deepest meaning in the spiritual realm. The universal need for our soul salvation is one of the clearest teachings of the New Testament. We find in Romans 1:16 that salvation is described this way. It's deliverance from the power of sin, redemption. There are many, many misleading teachings concerning the salvation that God so freely offers the world. Some denominational preachers say that salvation is by faith only, while others preach that they are saved in all denominations, even though they teach conflicting doctrines. Still others practice infant baptism, which suggests that baptism is by faith, salvation is by baptism only. Sadly, there are many more doctrines of devils that are prevalent in the world today. Deliverance from the power of sin, redemption, can only come from God. But man will tell you different. It can come whichever way you choose. That's what man will tell you. But once again, salvation can only come from God. It can only be attained by following his word, which is this book we call the Bible. Men have made salvation impossible because they refuse to heed the word of God. It is impossible for man to be saved apart from the gospel. Let's turn to Romans 1:16. Says Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew and the Greek. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Without the gospel, you can't receive salvation. You can't attain salvation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now we remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul says, the gospel, if you believe it, you can attain salvation. You cannot obtain salvation apart from the gospel. Now, he says, if you believe. Now, if you believe and then fall away, you just lost your salvation. So you have to continue to believe in this gospel. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4:3. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Paul in his letter says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Let me read 4. In this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But Satan blinds the mind of those who will want to be saved by giving them other options that men have invented. We should be assured that we can only attain salvation by first reading, understanding, and then acting on that understanding or belief in order to obtain salvation. You cannot obtain salvation apart from the gospel. If you're following some man's doctrine, some teaching that doesn't originate in the scripture, that doesn't hold fast to the scripture, you can't attain salvation. Salvation is not attained apart from the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 13, Ephesians. There's once again Paul in his letter to the church at Ephesus. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit once you obtain salvation. But you can only obtain that salvation through the gospel. God has made it. That's what God has made for you to obtain salvation, the gospel, the good news of his son, Jesus Christ. So it is impossible, once again, for men to be saved apart from the gospel. There's all kind of men teaching that you don't need this book we call the Bible in order to be saved. And that's a lie of the devil. It's impossible for man to be saved outside the church. Now, a lot of people will believe that you can have salvation, you can be saved and not be a member of the Lord's church. Remember in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, upon this rock, talking about the truth that Peter just said, that he was the Son of God, that's what he's going to build his church on. Upon this truth, what Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's the truth he was going to build his church on. You can't be saved outside of church. There are no saved outside of church. Let's read Acts 2:47. We don't say that to individuals. We don't say that to people look down on. We just tell them the truth. There are no saved outside the church. If you're a member of a denomination and you're not a member of the Lord's body, you're not saved according to the scriptures. Now, you might feel saved. You might think you're saved, but not according to the scriptures. Acts 2:47. And it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Those who are being saved are added to the church. Can't join the church. And we say that all the time in our Bible studies. People want to say, well, how can I join your church? You can't join the church. You have to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you're added to the church. To the church is where all the saved are being added. If you're being added to the denomination, you're not being added to the church where Jesus built. You're being added to some man-made structure, some man-made organization. It's not the church that Jesus died for. Colossians 1, verses 18 to 20. Colossians 1, 18 to 20. Here it speaks of Christ of preeminence. And then he says at 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. There's a lot of things in there. He is the head of the body, which means he has authority, jurisdiction, to tell us what to do. He's the head. He's the leader. He has the authority to tell us what to do. And then it goes on in 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. It's through the church that God reconciles all things to himself. Those who are sinners are added to the church and are reconciled back to God. If you're not in the church, you can't be reconciled to God. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you're not reconciled to God. Now, you might think you are, but not according to the scriptures. Ephesians 5:23. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Christ is the Savior of the body. He's not a Savior of every religious body out there. A lot of people say, this denomination over here, we follow Christ, do you? Well, what do you do in your worship? What do you do in your work? Now, worship, we sing, we have the Lord's Supper, we give our means, we pray, and we listen to somebody stand in the pulpit and preach. Now, we were talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and we asked him, we say, well, what do you do over there where you attend? Do they eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? He said, no, well, it's not the Lord's church. Because we do it according to the scriptures. Because we understand Christ has the authority over us, and we do as he directs. So if you're outside the church, you're not saved. Man has made it impossible for men to be saved because they teach them things that are not that are contrary to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. We're all put into the same body once we are obedient to the gospel. Once again, you can't join the church. You're added to the church according to Acts 2:47. The church is where all the saved are. Now, the Bible speaks of church in two ways. Universal, where all the saved are, and then local, just like we have here at the West End congregation. We're a local congregation, part of the universal church. And we're added to that universal body once we were obedient to the gospel. So by faith only, by baptism only, no, it has to be everything that the gospel dictates in order for us to be saved. It's impossible for man to be saved without Christ. A lot of people want to bypass Christ and say, well, I'm saved. Well, what are you doing? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't make it an option. He didn't make it multiple choice. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Luke 2:11. Without Christ, none of us would have any hope. We'd still be lost in all our sins. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Christ is the Savior of the body. We read that. And so we have to understand that if we want to be saved, it has to be through Christ. In one place, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me. So it has to be through Christ. And we have all these different religious bodies in the world, and none of them teach that Christ is divine or that he came from heaven or that he's the Son of God. A lot of those people think that they have salvation, but they don't. Salvation can only come through Christ. He is the Savior of the body. Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's what we talked about, salvation, is deliverance. It's a redemption, deliverance from our sins. Jesus was born to deliver us from our sins. If you bypass Christ, you are not delivered from your sins. You are still in your sins. If you're not obedient to the gospel, you're still in your sins. So we have to understand that Christ, without Christ, we are not saved. We can't get to that point of salvation. If we deny Christ, then we deny everything that comes with Christ. Eternal life, peaceable and quiet life as Christians. Now, it's not always that way. But as Brian was saying this morning, God is more powerful than our situations. And so if we endure, we can be assured that we'll have a home in heaven after a while. 2 Timothy 2:10. On his letter to Timothy, he says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And here Paul is saying salvation is in Christ Jesus. You can't have salvation outside of Jesus Christ. The people will say that, they'll teach it. You hear it on the radio, on the TV, that you don't have to have Jesus Christ, so it's not necessary to do everything he says, and you can still achieve salvation. But but it's not according to the scriptures. And that's what we have to do as Christians, and I have to mention Brian again, his lesson was excellent this morning. We have to get out there and evangelize and tell people about this, that you can't achieve salvation without being in the church, apart from the gospel. Outside of Christ, you can't. A lot of people believe that because we run into them all the time. They said, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored. Well, what church you belong to? No, I don't go to church. I just watch church on TV. So we have to tell them, we have to make sure that we're doing our part. Because somebody did their part to tell us the truth, didn't they? Somebody did their part. Now it's our turn. And we teach in our classes that we teach so that when you get it and you get the knowledge, then now you have to go and teach. That's the whole purpose of Christianity. It's word of mouth. Somebody taught me, somebody taught you, and now we have to teach somebody else. As we go through life, sometimes it's on the job, sometimes it's in the grocery store, sometimes it's next door neighbor, sometimes it's somebody down the street. But that's what we have to do. It's impossible for man to be saved without Christ. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. I'm going to read 12 as well. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have a Son of God does not have life. Pretty plain, ain't it? It's pretty simple. If you have Christ, then you have life. But it's having Christ is not a passive relationship. It's a diligent relationship, right? It's ongoing, it's continuing. And you're not just standing in one spot, standing in one place. You're continuing to move forward. If you're not moving forward, then you're moving backwards. A lot of people say, well, the Christian is stagnant. He's not stagnant. He's going backwards. Because if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. It's just the way it is in the Christian. If you're not striving to move forward, the devil's going to make sure that you move backwards. But in Christ, we have the power to resist temptation and come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the grace and knowledge, through him. So without Christ, you're not going to be saved. You cannot be saved. And salvation is null and void without Jesus Christ. It is impossible to be saved without the blood of Christ. And, you know, something we always talk about, baptism. We're talking about the blood, but how do you contact that blood? It's through baptism. A lot of people, they agree and say, yeah, you're right. It's, the scriptures say it's the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away our sin. But they'll say baptism is not necessary for salvation. So how does the blood of Jesus Christ take away our sins? Is it just his death on the cross and then we don't have to do anything? A lot of people tell you that. Jesus has done it all. You don't have to do anything. Once again, that's a lie of the devil. John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side and with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. Understand, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. His blood was shed, not for something he did, but for what we had done. That's why his blood was shed. And even some Christians don't understand, get that. I mean, we have to do, why not do everything that we possibly can? Not to try to get our way into heaven, but to show our love and our appreciation for what Christ done for us. Amen. We just come and sit in comfortable pews once a week or twice a week and then check it off our spiritual checklist and say, I'm done for the week. Or are we trying to evangelize, trying to tell others that they're lost without Christ? That if they're not a member of the Lord's church, they're lost. that if they haven't obeyed the gospel, they're lost. Are we telling them that? Are we just going through life checking off our spiritual checklist once a week, and then that's all we have to do? Or figure that's all we need to do? But Christ died on the cross for our sins. He didn't do anything. And just imagine, he left heaven. Now, he could have came to heaven to be a king. He could have came to earth and been the richest man in the world, but he came and he was a poor man. He had no home. He had no family. His family abandoned him or turned against him. And he did that for our sake. I don't know how that doesn't touch anybody's heart. He did it for our sake. He shed his own blood for our sake. Romans 6:4. It is impossible to be saved without the blood of Christ. Romans 6:4 says, "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life." Well, how do we contact the blood of Christ? We're buried with him by baptism. We're baptized into the benefits of his death, his blood. Now, we always have to say this. There's nothing magical in the water. We don't believe that. There wasn't nothing magical in the waters of Jordan when Naaman went to that water. There wasn't no magic in that water. He did it by being obedient. After a while, he said, "Well, let me go try." And he dipped 7 times. And the question always comes to mind, what if he only dipped 5 times? What if he only dipped 5.5 times or 6.5 times? Would he still been a leper? Yep, because the instruction was 7 times. Amen. The instruction today for those in the world today is, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, I believe, but I don't believe baptism is necessary for salvation. You can't achieve salvation because you have not followed the commands of God. Amen. The commands of God are easy to understand. And I hear it all the time. My 8-year-old child could understand it. Sometimes as individuals, as grown people, we say, "It's I don't understand that." That's your interpretation, whereas the scriptures are clear. 1 John 1:7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." There's something we have to do if we want the cleansing of Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light, what is he talking about? Walking in light, walking in the truth of his gospel, we have fellowship with him, and if we have fellowship with him, then he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, everything is tied together. If you want fellowship with Christ, your sins have to be taken away. And your sins can only be taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Through baptism. That's the only way you can achieve fellowship with God. It's by his blood that we are saved, by his shedding. But we have to do something. We just can't be passive. There's something we have to do if we want to go to heaven. Now, if heaven's not your goal, then you can do whatever you want to do. You can sit on a comfortable pew and not be obedient. You can try to do things of a religious nature, thinking that you're in the right relationship with God. But if it's not according to scriptures, then it's a lost cause. Luke 22:20. But let me read it. Let me begin in 19. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 20. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood." The covenant was established by his blood. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is agreement between two people, right? God said, Christ shed his blood for us. Now, we have to agree to do what he wants us to do in order to obtain salvation. Remember, he said, this is the blood in the new covenant, the new agreement. It's an agreement. Now, I've done my part. Now, you have to do something as well. We can't be passive, just thinking that salvation will come to us. We have to be obedient to the word of God. Men have invented machines that have traveled to the deepest part of our galaxy. And just not too long ago, seen where they launched some satellite or something back in 1975, and they said it just reached the outskirts of our galaxy. Men invented that. Isn't that something? It's still been going since 1975, and it's reached the outskirts of our galaxy. Doctors have found cures for some of the most dreadful diseases of our 20th century. You know, back in, say, even the earlier part of the 19th century or the 20th century, they had some dreadful diseases. But now doctors have found cures for that. They've invented some things, some medicines, so we don't have to deal with those dreadful diseases. But to try to be saved by the ways invented by man is to try the impossible. You cannot be saved. Once again, Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." For every command God has given, there are those who will negate that command by inventing an unbiblical exception. Men are always inventing things. Some of them are good. Some of them are great. Some of them make our lives better. But this has already been settled in heaven. You can't change this. You might change the way you look at it, but even after we're dead and gone, and there's other people on this earth, this still is going to be true. As they were being baptized and obeying the gospel in the first century, the same is true today. We have to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ if we want salvation. The apostles taught Peter, the people, to hear the gospel, Mark 12:29. To believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. We need to repent of every sin. I have to say this, that repentance is a total opposite. You're going now, you were going this way. You know what repentance is? Now I'm going this way. That's what repentance is. It's a total turn of direction. A total different mindset. And when you come out of the water, there's still some habits you're going to have, but you shouldn't stay that way. You should get your nose in that book, study, get around those who are like or have the same mindset, that they want to study and grow. We need to confess the name of Christ, Romans 10:10, and be baptized in order to receive the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. These are the steps whereby salvation is possible. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we want you to become one. We understand that without becoming a Christian, without being in relationship with Christ, without understanding the gospel, that you're lost. And we don't want you to be lost. Because I have to mention this. We were studying Friday night and Matthew 23, and the scripture, he was blistering the Pharisees and the scribes. And the Bible says, "Woe unto thee." And the sister Nita, she that version that she had, it just made my hair stand on the back. It says, "Great sorrow awaits." Great sorrow awaits. When it says woe, great sorrow awaits. If you're not obedient to the gospel, great sorrow awaits. That's kind of scary to me. I don't know about anybody else. He said, if you're not a Christian, we want you to become a Christian. You do that by being obedient to the gospel. If you are a Christian and you haven't been living right, we want you to come back. We want you to come back and take your rightful place with us, spreading the gospel, being obedient to God, and working at our soul salvation in fear and trembling of the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're subject to invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.